the Lord. For the time that is allotted to us, and I can see the time, you can see it, to share this morning, I want to speak to us on the topic, Daniel's A's, the features of an excellent spirit. Daniel's A's, the features of an excellent spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, you need to ace the test. Amen, amen, amen. As I thought about our gathering here today, beloved, bringing our children together and praying for them and preparing them to go back into the halls of scholarship and the places of learning where their minds will be challenged with a plethora of axioms that will probably go against their spiritual, moral, and ethical norms. I thought, what example, what storyline, who in scripture can I use to speak into the lives of our young people this morning what God expects of them? Because they're going out there in the halls of academia and scholarship, and there are different axioms or different paradigms, different ways of viewing life that these young people will have to encounter. And some of them, if not most of them, beloved, will go against their spiritual, moral, and ethical norms. I was hearing on the news where a parent in California, of all places, California, was complaining about their four-year-old being taught about man marrying man and woman marrying woman. That it's okay to have two daddies and to have two mothers. And this parent was protesting against it. I don't know whether a lawsuit is going to ensue from that, but this is what our children are going to be facing. Public education that is teaching them things that are against their spiritual, moral, and ethical norms because it is popular, beloved. They don't have any problem telling our children that they cannot learn the Bible in schools. They don't have any problem telling our children that they're the product of an evolution, of an explosion that happened several billions of years ago. They don't have any problem teaching our children that after their parents have worked hard to give them what they have, that it is some white bearded old white man from the North Pole called Santa Claus that comes through some chimney and put the gifts under the tree. Matter of fact, these axioms, these ideas, these paradigms are so prolific that I remember when I first got here, our school, the MLK school, Seventh-day Adventist institution, I went there for their Christmas play. And I thought I was trying to help the parents by saying to the young people, the gifts you are going to have this Christmas, the things that are going to be under the trees that you're going to unwrap are not things that somebody snuck through some chimney and brought to you. There are gifts that your parents work hard and sweat, and because they love you and care for you, they're giving it to you. And I thought all the parents were going to applaud me. I got a pushback. There were parents that were mad because I was sharing with children at a Christian institution that Santa Claus is not real. This is what our children are dealing with. If we cannot share with our children at a Christian institution that the parents who brought them there knew that it was a Christian institution that has some moral, spiritual, and ethical norms and theology and a foundation under which we have our lesson plans and the different things, the axioms from which we teach them, what do you think is happening in the public schools? They're teaching our children everything but truth. Oh, yes, they're teaching them reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're teaching them science. They're teaching them some of the things that they need to know. But there are other things that they are splicing in between what they're teaching our kids that are turning them from God. And so it is our duty, beloved, to let our children know that you can be in the public space and still have a strong spiritual and moral value no matter what they are throwing at you. Is anybody listening to me? And as I scurry through the scriptures to find an example, I couldn't find one better than the man Daniel. Everybody say Daniel. Daniel, my brothers and sisters, is that young black or brown gifted Judean bounty of war that was deported to Babylon after the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar's army when they defeated Judah and took captives, some of the Judeans back to Babylon to enslave them. And as we look at our passage in Daniel chapter 6, we find Daniel elevated above not just the princes, but the presidents. Because in the Medo-Persian Empire, there were princes that were over jurisdictions, and then these princes had presidents that they reported to, and these presidents had one leader that they reported to who reported to the king. And guess who was that leader appointed above the president and the princes? Daniel. Now, looking at chapter 6 of Daniel, it is easy to conclude and to dismiss Daniel's effectiveness, his integrity, and his political effectiveness that allow Yahweh to cause the king to elevate him to this high position by excusing it to Daniel's age and his maturity. You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, Daniel was over 80 years old, so he was a much more mature man, and he knew better, and he knew Yahweh. He was more mature. And so he was expected to do better. But this is not the Daniel I want to introduce you to this morning. I want to introduce you to a younger Daniel. Because to appreciate the effectiveness, to appreciate the great integrity that Daniel had, to applaud and want to model Daniel's life, we have to go back to Daniel chapter 1, where we see Daniel as a young man, so that we can appreciate Daniel chapter 6, where we see Daniel as a more mature and older man. Is anybody with me this morning? My brothers and sisters, Daniel did not start off being a mature, well-fortified, and effective representative of Yahweh, even in Media Persia. We see Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 as a young man who had determined from the start of his life that he was going to stay focused on the purpose for which God had created him, and it was this focus, this determination that Daniel made as a young child that allowed him to graduate to this mature person who was elevated second highest in command in Media Persia. Let me pause here parenthetically to share with those of you young people that are at the flower of your youth, those of you who are preparing to be somebody in this world later on as you matriculate through school and through the halls of academia, let me pass it to you unequivocally today that the decisions you make now will determine your elevation tomorrow. I'm going to say that again, young people. The decisions you make now, the focus that you have on your life now will determine how you are elevated, where you are serving, and what positions you have of respect in this world and in your community. Turn to somebody and say, get your life right now. Daniel, as I told you earlier, is amongst a group of young men that were deported to Babylon. And the Babylonians saw their qualifications. Matter of fact, when we read Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar instructed his eunuch, Espinaz, and told him, find not just any young person, but find young people who are astute in science, young people who are versed in math, young people who can stand flawless in the presence of kings. I wish somebody was listening to me. Young people that we can miseducate or reeducate to be an asset to the socioeconomic, political, and the military strength of Babylon. He sounded like another president to me. We don't want people out of SH countries. We want people out of lily white countries, people who can tie their bootstraps by themselves, can pick themselves up by their own bootstraps. We don't want people that don't have no boots, left alone some straps. And so they got Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And they brought them with a group of other people. And there are three things that they planned to do to them so that they could reprogram them for the success of Babylon and not Yahweh. Let me tell you something, young people. The world is watching you. The world is looking at you. And no matter what they say about you, they still want to use you for their benefit. And so there are three things that the Babylonians did. How many things, everybody? Three things. The first thing that the Babylonians did was change their names. I just want to warn you that when people plan to program you against yourself and for their benefit, they will change your name. This young man's name was Daniel, which means God or Elohim is my judge. But they changed his name to Belteshazzar, which means Baal, which was a heathen god in Babylon, protects the king. Did you hear that? Daniel, God is my judge. Change to Baal, protect the king. First of all, it's intimidating. Second of all, it lock you into a situation where if you don't know who you are like Daniel did, you will begin to think that it is your job to protect the king. See, and that's why we can't get anything decent coming out of Congress, coming out of the White House, because everybody feels like they have to protect the king. When he says stop, instead of people standing up and said no, a million times no, this is wrong, this is racist, this is immoral, this is unethical, they spin around it. Well, he really didn't mean what he said. Well, don't listen to what he says. See and watch what he does. See, they change your name. And young people, I want you to know today that you cannot let anybody change your name. Your name is not the N word. Your name is not, young sisters, your name is not the B word. Your name is not stupid. Your name is not dumb. Your name is not lazy. Your name is not unintelligent. Oh yes, you may not be as good in one area, but all of us, God has given us gifts. Some he give just one, others he give two, others he give three, others he give multiplicity of gifts. But all of us have a gift, and you are not giftless. So don't let anybody change your name. The next thing that they did was change their diet. See, you are what you eat. And if the world wants to change you, they will change your diet. When you go out there, young people, somebody will give you something that they want you to put in your body. Somebody want to give you something they want you to smoke, something they want you to snuff. Something they want you to inhale, something they want you to drink, something they want you to eat. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 has already warned us. Whatsoever you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. When they try to change your diet, say to them, know ye not that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I can't just put anything in my body. And the third thing that they try to change in Daniel and his colleagues was their mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, guard your mind. They try to miseducate them. They wanted to teach them the learnings of the Babylonians. They wanted them to think like Babylonians. I think it was Dr. Carter G. Woodson in his famous book, The Miseducation of the Negro, 1933. Here's what Dr. Woodson says. He says, when you control how a person thinks, you don't have to worry about their action. And let me tell you, young people, they want to change how you think. When somebody has a lock on your mind, when your mind is imprisoned, you are like a yo-yo. They just put you all over the place and you'll do whatever they want you to do. Don't allow them to miseducate you. That's why you have to read. You have to study. You have to do research. You have to spend time with people who are thinking like you think. Matter of fact, I heard somebody say, if you are the smartest person in your group, you've outgrown that group. You need to be somewhere where somebody's always testing your mind. I have a book in my office, and you, some of you scholars can borrow it. It's called Iron Sharpens Iron. You can't rub against a dull instrument and think you're going to get sharp. You got to be around people who may be a little step ahead of you, and don't be intimidated by them, because that's how we learn. And so here we have this Daniel, elevated now. Several decades later, Daniel is not only privileged to serve in a foreign land, but he is privileged to serve in two distinct dynasties and under three kings or emperors. Daniel was able to serve under Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian dynasty. After Nebuchadnezzar died, Daniel was so good that they allowed him to stay in the cabinet of Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And after the Medo-Persians overthrew Babylon, when Belshazzar was so above himself and took the Lord's vessels from the temple and started having a drunken stupor with his paramours and all of those weak and spineless leaders that would not stand up against him. The Bible say he saw a writing on the wall. Tickle, tickle, many, many tickle you, Farson. And he started to shake at the knees. I'm so glad that there's no man on this planet, there's no woman on this planet that is so powerful that my God cannot make them shake at the knees. I don't care who you are, how long you think you've been in power, how much power you think you have. When you stand up against the God that I'm talking about, Yahweh Elohim, the only God, which is the living God, he can make you shake at your knees. And they brought in Daniel, Shazar brings in Daniel, and if you tell me the meaning of the dream, I'll robe you in purple. I'll get it. And you say, you can keep all of your stuff because you ain't going to have it anyway. I'm going to tell you what the Lord has told me to tell you. Many tickle your foursome. You have been found in the balance, and you are wanting. Your day has come to an end. And the Bible says right there, the Medes and the Persians came through some ducts that the Babylonians had built to have this water system, and they overthrew Babylon. And instead of Daniel being executed, oh, bless his name, Daniel follows through in leadership in Darius's Persia and is elevated to the second in command over the three presidents and all of the princesses. Everybody reported to Daniel. I wish somebody would say amen. I stop by to tell you today, young people, that when you stand up for God, when you hold to the standards and the truths and the moral and spiritual norms that your parents and your church has taught you, you will be elevated. Here's my question to you. What was it? Because the passage says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. And this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him above the whole realm. What was this excellent spirit? And how is it that Daniel was able to get this excellent spirit? What are the features of an excellent spirit? I'm so glad you asked. There are four features that I want to give you. Young people that are here today, and even some of you parents, you need to write it down for your children. The first feature of an excellent spirit is aptitude. Everybody say aptitude. It's aptitude, aptitude. What is aptitude, Pastor? Aptitude is the gifts, the talents, and the intelligence necessary for academia and intellectual pursuit. Aptitude. In other words, Daniel was not a scrub. Here I go again with some of them 1998. I don't know what y'all call people like that now. But Daniel was not a scrub. He was not, because the Babylonians were not just looking for anybody. They were looking for royalty. Turn to your neighbor and say, they're looking for you. Because you are royalty. Let me tell you, I don't care if you've been here 400 years, 300 years, 430 or 80, we were all brought here. And it's because of us, this nation is what it is today. Everything that you see around here that makes America what Trump may call great and want to make great again happen on the back of black and brown people brought to this country in chains, like Nebuchadnezzar brought Daniel and his three friends in chain to Babylon. That's why you have to have aptitude. Aptitude does not happen, young people, when you are watching television all day. I used to tell my children, matter of fact, since we moved to Baton Rouge, we don't have television in my house. I used to tell my children, stop watching Beyonce. She's a millionaire and you're making her richer. Spend time in your books so that you can have some of the money she has. You're there. You're downloading this and downloading that. And how you think Beyonce and all of these other people got the money they got? Because you're taking what you don't have and you're funding them. Get off that television. Get off Facebook. Get off Snapchat. Get off Instagram. Spend some time in your studies. I'm not saying you can have a little, social media time. But what I'm saying is don't stay up all night. Your mama think you are in bed sleeping. So you can wake up in the morning. You turn the lights out. And as soon as you hear mama snoring, you're on Facebook. You're on Instagram. You're posting all kinds of stuff. And you wonder why people look at you the way they do and talk about you the way they do. Because you're throwing all of your life out there. There are some things that don't belong on Facebook. That's what I said. There was a time when we had some decency and what we call privacy. There were things you didn't want people to know about you. You're going out there throwing all your stuff out. Aptitude. It was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow who said, "The heights that great men reached and kept were not obtained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward through the night." Let me tell you, young people, you got to wake up. My children will tell you. You can't get me to do too much after 10 o'clock in the night. You can't buy me for a nickel. You're talking to me and I'm falling asleep on the phone. Because my body has been programmed. 4 o'clock in the morning, I get up. And even though I am blind and can't see, thank God for technology, there's something called voiceover. I plug my phone in it and put that headphone on and it's reading to me. I'm still studying. I'm still reading. I was talking to a colleague of mine, a young pastor, and I asked him, "What book have you read this month?" Well, pastor, I'm like, "What you mean, well?" If you are a leader, if you are a human being, period, and you go a month without reading a book, something is wrong. You got your mind. You got to nurture your mind, young people. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you something I read in some book. I'm telling you something that has happened to me. I didn't go to school, college, because I made some mistakes and lost some time till I was 27 years old. And I'm not going to call none of their names, but when I graduated from college, my GPA was higher than a lot of the young people that were 18 and 19 in college with me. Matter of fact, when I got ready to go into my doctoral program, I called a friend, a young person that I, was interested in. I was like, "Hey, man, are you going to sign up for the doctoral program?" He told me, he said, "No, man, I can't sign up because my GPA was not high enough. And they won't allow me with that GPA." And I was like, "Man, you didn't have no wife like I had. You didn't have no kids like I had. You didn't have to go to work. You were in a dorm every day. What happened?" I tell you what happened. The decisions that were made then has result now. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, work on your aptitude." The second A's in Daniel's feature for excellent spirit is attitude. Everybody say attitude. You cannot have success no matter what your aptitude is if you got a nasty attitude. If people can't tell you nothing, if you can't be corrected, if you can't learn from your mistakes, if you can accept decent, honest criticism. Attitude. I don't have time to read the passage, but I'm going to point you to it. Read Daniel chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says that Daniel went to Ashpenaz, the eunuch, and he told him, he says, listen, man, we are Yahweh's children. I know this food is high society. I know it tastes good. I know it smells good. I know it is what everybody else is eating. But man, can you give us a break? What you talking about? The king will take my hat. Listen, work with us. Give us several days, 10 days if you may, and just feed us what Yahweh has instructed us to eat. And then test us, oh, bless his name, and see how we come out. And if we don't come out right, feed us whatever you want to feed us. And the Bible, you see, turn to somebody and say, that's attitude. Don't go out there talking, don't you know I'm a Seventh-day Adventist and we are vegetarian? I ain't eating that stuff. It don't even taste right. And you a slave to somebody. You can't talk like that. Your head is gone. Most of us are not where we need to be because of our attitude. Who he think he is. Who she thinks that she's your boss. She's the one signing your paycheck. She's the one going to sign that pink slip that you're going to be suspended. He's the one going to sign that page that's going to tell you you fired. Now, how you like that? But when you have a good attitude and you add that to smart aptitude, oh my God, you are selling. Somebody says your attitude will determine your, oh, help me preach my little sermon. Your attitude will determine your altitude, how high you go. And most of our young people today have a nasty attitude. They are disrespectful. They don't listen to nobody. They got answers for everything. But Daniel had a good attitude. He talked with this man. The third thing, because I got to get you out of here. The third aids is your appetite. Everybody say appetite. Let me tell you, young people, there are people out here. I remember when I pastored in Tennessee, one of my elders, his son, his only son, we used to go visit him in the nursing home. This young man, his father lamented, was so intelligent. A's high schools and just flew through. Went to college and fooled around. Went with some friends to a nightclub. And one time he took a drink that somebody laced with something. And he never went back home. He was in a nursing home when I pastored in Harriman, Tennessee. And his dad would come to church. And after church, he would say, Pastor, can you go with me to see my son? And we go there. And he has a Bico helmet on his head. He's drooling from his mouth because he would have like 15 seizures a day. Somebody shout, be careful what they feed you. Be careful what you allow them to put in your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And no matter who's doing it. Now watch this. Daniel, Shadrach, that's the name they give Hananiah. Meshach is the name they give Mishael. And Abednego is the name they give Azariah. These four young men were not the only one that were taken from Babylon. I mean from Judah. There were other young people from the church, from the neighborhood, I mean Judah, that were eating and drinking everything. But they're not you. Don't do it because you see them doing it. Don't go to the games and miss church on Sabbath because they're going. Don't do stuff Friday night, Sabbath evening that they're doing. You know how I know all that? Because I used to do it. Don't do it. You're destroying yourself. It catches up with you, young people. So the first A's of Daniel, his aptitude, A's that. The second A's, his aptitude, he A's that. The third A's, his appetite, he A's that. And the fourth A's, his apparel. Everybody say apparel. Apparel has to do with your presence. Your appearance, what you wear, how you look. There are certain places they will not allow you because you don't look right. I was talking to a young man yesterday. He told me he wants to go in the military, but he has a neck tattoo and they will not allow him. Don't let people put stuff on you that you will regret later. I pastor a young lady that's always embarrassed to wear anything sleeveless. Gold plate all in her teeth. And now she's like, Pastor, I want to get it out. But and I'm like, well, there are some things we're just stuck with. Tattoo all over. Let me tell you something. You may be 14, 15, 19, 20 right now, but sooner or later, you're going to be 55 like Pastor Weegar. You're going to be 60, you're going to be 75. And when that skin starts drooling, that tattoo don't look right. And it's too late to get. I wish somebody was listening to me. Look at some of us. You see all this white? I didn't paint it. Time brought it on. And I'm going to tell you about something that was written on a gravestone in England, I heard. It says, plan your life. Because where I am, you will one day be. And they say a little smart kid came and wrote on it, where you are, I don't want to be unless I know how you got there. See, you're going to get old. Turn to your neighbor. If you're young, say, buddy. Come on, hunch your pew partner. Say, buddy, you're going to get old. And what you're doing now is going to catch up with you. So your appearance, the way you look, matters. It's important. Daniel was able to excel because he had an awesome aptitude. He had a great attitude. He controlled and had an awesome appetite. He had an awesome apparel. He didn't just eat anything and wear anything. The Babylonians were not recruiting saggers. Walking around with your pants all the way near your knee. And you're wondering why they can't hire you at Walmart or McDonald's. Because you don't look right. You scare people. Am I talking to my young people today? I want to tell you how life can hurt you or help you. And your aptitude, your attitude, your appetite, and your appearance. Write those four A's down. and leave here today, going back to your school, going back to college, going back and say, I'm going to be like Daniel. I'm going to have four aces that I live by. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, was asked the question about his strong spiritual life. Mr. Booth, the question was, how is it that you had such a strong and devoted spiritual life? And his answer was, I asked God to have all that is of William Booth. I want to have his aptitude so I can think with divine wisdom. I want his attitude so that I can represent his divine personality. I want his appetite so that I can put in my body what his divine word says is good for my body. I want his apparel so that I can represent his presence in my life. It bothers me when I see drunkards and crackheads. I don't have to ask whether they are a drunkard or a crackhead. Any of you? When you see the prostitute, you don't have to ask, is that a street walker? Why is it, brothers and sisters, that we got to ask if somebody's a Christian? Why can't people just see us by our aptitude, our attitude, our appetite, and our attire and say, there is a child of Yahweh. There is a daughter of Yeshua, whom the Greeks called Jesus. Oh, my brothers and sisters, as I close, where's my musician? I want you to know today that Daniel was able to excel in Babylon, was able to excel in Media Persia because he had a right aptitude and right attitude and ate the right diet and wore the right apparel. He was committed to Yahweh. And if Daniel were to be here and share with you and I today, there he will say to us, if you have and pursue these four A's, then no matter what the world tries to do to you, they're not going to get you. Then no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. No tongue that comes against you in judgment will stand up. They will be condemned. Oh, if you have these four A's as a foundation for your life and total commitment to Yahweh as you go into the 2019-2020 school year, then God will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. God will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Because the word of God has promised, if you allow these four A's, young people, to be the foundation upon which you focus on God's preparation of your life for why he created you for your existence on this earth, then you will be the head and not the tail. You will be the first and not the last. You will be leaders and not mere followers. You will be a winner because you are a child of God and he created you to win. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a winner. God has called us to live a life of sacrifice. And all of these things that I just named, it's going to take sacrifice for you to be able to do it. Oh, but I stopped by to tell you today that if you're willing to sacrifice now, you will see the result tomorrow. If you're willing to live for God now, God will set you up and stand you up before kings and queens and leaders. If you're willing to live for God today, tomorrow, God will lift you up. He will turn you around. He will plant your feet on solid ground. Daniel will tell you, God will be your rear guard. God will go before you. God will walk beside you. God will canopy your head with his grace and his mercy. God will give you love. God will give you protection. God will give you peace. God will give you strength. God will give you favor. God will give you success. God will lift you up. You will be the head and not the tail. And I want you to know that when this world has come to an end and time lays its feeble head on the breast of eternity, God will translate you and transition you from where you are now to where he wants you to be eternally. God will say to you, well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. And I just want to ask somebody this morning, won't he do it? Won't he lift you up? Won't he plant your feet? Won't he protect you? Won't he provide for you? Won't he make you the head and not the tail? Somebody say yes. Young people, Daniel's age, the features of an excellent spirit can be yours. It is not just Daniel's, but it can be yours also. If you believe that, stand with me today as we prepare to ask God to keep us focused, to keep us faithful, to keep us following him until that day. God, we prayed for our young people, so I'm not calling them to come back up. But I want to open the doors of the church for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that do not know you in the saving of their soul. God, they may have been sidetracked and went back to where you brought them from. And they want to re-stand. They want to retake their stands. They want to be re-baptized. Or maybe they want to be baptized for the first time. We're opening the doors of the church right now. God, I pray that you will strengthen the footsteps of that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who will walk up and say, Pastor, I want to be under the canopy of the ministry of this church. I want to be a member. I want to come by transfer of membership. I want to come by baptism. I want to come by profession of faith. I want to come by rebaptism. If you are here today, as the Spirit of God moves on your heart, I ask you to walk out of your seat and come so that we can pray with you and pray for you. And we're going to put some Bible studies in your hand. We're getting ready to do baptism next Sabbath, the 24th. We're having our quarterly baptism here, and you want to be in it. I ask you to come now. God, move that man, move that woman, move that boy, move that girl, move that son, move that daughter, that father, that mother. Do something special here today. In Jesus' name, amen.